Thank you. Sit down. Nothing too formal.
Hello, everybody. So it's nice to be here with you guys and with my wife, Catherine, Grace, our daughter, Elijah, our youngest son, Isaac and Hudson at the back, and my mum and dad. So I wanted to tell you something about myself, because I'm learning that actually God is more interested in who we are and who we're becoming than what we think we might be doing for him. So something about me, at the core of who I am, I feel very challenged about how do I reflect Jesus to other people. And even this week, I was reading a story about when some people brought their son, who was very sick, to Jesus' disciples. So those people had faith, and they were looking for answers, and they came to the people that had the answer, and those people couldn't do anything about it because they didn't have any faith. And then they went to Jesus, and Jesus healed them. So I feel I'm like one of those disciples who's trying to follow Jesus and trying to live his way, but so often with my wife and my kids, my parents, people that we're serving here in Somerset and the UK, so often I just give such a poor reflection of who Jesus is, and that feels sad. I feel sad about that. But there's hope, isn't there? we're not lost causes, but I think that's the challenge for all of us, is that Jesus invites us to reflect him to other people. And we're convinced, because we see it every day, that people are looking for answers. They're looking to be saved, they're looking for hope and faith. And so often, in my experience, people have come to me and I've given them everything but the one person that they need, which is Jesus. So that's something about me and the heart from which I'm sharing these stories, that we are trying to, as a family, learn how do we share Jesus with people, because that's the thing that they need. So about 15 or 16 years ago, we were with Phil, mum and dad, Sue, and others in Somerton, one big happy family that was called St. Clear's. And it's funny how God sends us all on different journeys. We like to keep everything all together. We like to keep the status quo. We like to manage everything. But God loves to disrupt all of our plans, which we think are really important, but actually get in the way of God spreading his kingdom. So we felt, seems like a long time ago now, that the Holy Spirit was sending us out of the church fellowship that we were part of, that I'd grown up in, that mum and dad still have links with, to basically do something different. So that was quite difficult for us. I think it was quite difficult for people watching us, because we couldn't explain really well what that was going to look like. I think people were concerned for us that we'd lost our mind or we were upset, when we weren't at all. We were convinced that Jesus wanted to reveal himself to people out there in all the towns and villages of Somerset. So we felt like missionaries, but instead of going far away to some tribe in the middle of somewhere, God had sent us to our living room, and we had to learn how to make disciples, really, because we'd grown up, both me and Catherine, going to church on Sunday, doing those kind of things. And actually, we felt we needed to go to people who didn't know anything about Jesus, who probably were not thinking about coming to a church service on a Sunday morning. And we needed to go into their homes, like Jesus taught his disciples to eat with people, to heal people, and to help them become disciples of Jesus, and to do that in a way that they could then make more disciples. So that was our big idea And we had no idea how we were going to do that, and still don't really. So we started in our little town, Somerton, of 5,000 people. And it looked like complete failure, to be honest. We tried lots of things. We tried to talk to people about God. People would ask me, you know, what do you do? And I would talk to them in a way that they just seemed to not understand. They'd ask me, I'd quit my job at this point because I'd felt God was calling us to give all of our time for him. And so we weren't being employed by anyone, and we still aren't. We don't receive a wage from anyone, we still don't. But when people would ask me, so what do? I didn't know what to say, and I was a bit scared. So I'd say things like, we work for the church, or, well, we're Christians. And it was like I was talking Chinese to them or something. They had no idea. So I'd come home, probably come and whinge to Catherine and say, what are we doing? We're trying to do this thing, it's not working. And you read things in the Bible that Jesus said that are so annoying, things like the harvest is plentiful, and yet our experience was, no, it isn't. It's not hard, the harvest is not plentiful. Nobody wants to know, nobody wants to talk to us. We're not seeing anybody come to faith. But I think it's in those moments where you have real faith or not. Not when everything's going really well and everyone's patting you on the back. It's when you're at home on your own and you feel like giving up. And so in those moments, consistently over 14 years, what we've tried to do as a family is take all of our feelings and however it might look and bring it to God's word and say, God, do whatever you need to do in our lives so that our reality becomes this reality. And when we do that, it's quite amazing, very challenging. And so for me, I realized I was talking in a way to people that they had no understanding of whatsoever. And I was writing off all of these people that God loved and died for because I didn't know how to talk to them or relate to them because they've not grown up going to church. They don't know about Christianity. They don't know about Jesus. So instead of saying all of these strange things, I just said to people, we help people follow Jesus and we go into people's homes and eat with them. And it felt like overnight we found ourselves in lots of people's homes because we dropped our baggage really and everything that we felt was important to simply present Jesus to people in a way they could understand. So we found ourselves in Somerton and in other villages, you know, in lots of people's homes, people being very generous to us, and it felt really amazing. But then after a bit of time, I'm also someone who's always thinking and reflecting, God, this is great, but like, what's next? Or how does this need to grow? So probably Catherine gets frustrated with that. So I was thinking, we've got all these people and it's really amazing because we've gone from pretty much all our friends are Christians to all of our friends are not Christians. And we're praying for people and having food and it felt really amazing. But then we started to reflect on the scriptures that Jesus said that he's called us to make disciples, not just be friendly to people, not just go and have a nice time with them, important as that is. But we are to find people that God is at work in and who want to be disciples. So that felt a whole new challenge, because I'm thinking, God, it's great. We've been taking you to these people who seem really open, but actually we've not really been asking them to do anything or reading the Bible with them or asking questions, well, would you like to repent of your sin and get baptized or anything like that? So we then had to learn lots of things about that. So again, that was a challenge, but then what it led to was we found lots of people around Somerset who were absolutely desperate to repent of their sin and get baptized and follow Jesus. And it was amazing, because I used to sit in the church in Somerton and think, oh, that happens somewhere in another country where God's at work, but it doesn't happen here because the ground's too hard or people don't want to know or whatever our latest excuses. And it's not true. So I want to encourage you guys that all over Somerset, there are people that desperately want to know Jesus. And they're ready for people like me and you to just turn up and not to do anything clever or complex, but just to offer them Jesus and help them to understand what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. So we're getting to know people, and then we thought we'll start a church in our house. So, you know, we thought, is that allowed? Can we do that? You know, all these kind of questions that we have that actually stop us from doing the things that Jesus actually wants us to do. So I remember on a Wednesday night, we would gather this motley crew of people. It's always intrigued me that Jesus was called the friend of sinners and notorious people. And I'm someone who likes a bit of a challenge. So I remember us praying and asking God, like, give us the worst people in Somerset. And, that's not a judgmental thing against anybody. But to me, it seems that Jesus would go after the people that were sick and needed a doctor. And he would lovingly say to the people that are already well, you're okay. So we had our house full on a Wednesday night. You know, our kids will remember all this, you know, with the people that you probably would not want to invite into your house if you were using common sense. But we were not using common sense, we were using God's compassion for people that are hurting and broken. So we'd be trying to have this church thing, people would be sat around our table, everyone would be having food, and it was absolute chaos. Absolute chaos. Because anytime someone shared something that was emotional, they'd run out of the house because they couldn't cope with it. We were trying to help people become disciples of Jesus and to be the church together, yet they had no idea what a family does together because of their stories of being abused when they were younger. So we were trying to talk to these people about things that they just had no idea whatsoever. So we realised you have to love people. And that's a hard thing and a very patient thing. So we'd have food, we didn't know what we were doing, so we thought, how do we help people begin to thank God for things in their life? And so instead of me getting a guitar out and doing maybe what I like to do or what I thought we should do, we just simply thought of a way we would go around and we'd say to everybody, what's been your highs and lows of this week? So when you start to do that with people in the real world, it's quite shocking. So, you know, I'd be sharing, what's my highs? Oh, one of my kids got upset with me, or different things, or whatever. You know, some of the guys we work with, their lows of the week would be, we've been stabbed this week, or, you know, someone's committed suicide. That's the reality in the world. And so we had the heartbreak, but also the joy of helping introduce Jesus into their lives in powerful ways. So we'd do that, and we'd pray for people, and then we'd look at the Bible. But instead of me standing up in our house or giving a sermon for 30 minutes, what we would do is we would read the Bible story all together, and then we'd ask each other questions. Because we felt, actually, if God is at work in everybody, which the Bible says he is, then our job is not to tell everybody what to do or to give out all the answers, but it's to help very patiently and lovingly help all of these people know God and hear God for themselves. So that takes a long time. It's easier just to stand up and tell everyone what I think. And, you know, I've been a follower of Jesus for a very long time. But actually, people don't need our answers. People need to know Jesus for themselves. So we'd read the Bible, and we'd kind of ask three questions of each other. What is this saying to us? What do we need to do about it? And who could we share it with? So when I see what Jesus did in the scriptures, he is very practical. He didn't sit people down and talk about like all this theology and all this information for years and years. He said, come and follow me. It was a very practical way of life, and he taught people after things had happened. So we do the opposite. It's like we talk about all this stuff and nothing ever happens. So we try to do it the opposite way, where people experience Jesus and then we could teach from the scriptures about that. So when people started to come to faith, the first thing that we would do is we would take them out with us the next day, literally, and encourage them to share their Jesus story with more people or to pray for other people. Even now, when people want to get baptized, one of the first things we do is we help them to think through, who are they going to share this with in their friends and family? Because that's, to me, seems what Jesus did. Right at the start, when he said to his disciples, come and follow me, and I'll teach you to fish for more people. So, to me, having grown up going to church, that seems really, wow, that's so full on. But it's normal, isn't it? That's the normal life that we see in the scriptures. Being a disciple is being with Jesus, being together with other followers, but also making more disciples. So, where are we now? Well, we'd really appreciate your prayers, because what Jesus said is true. The harvest really is plentiful, and the workers are few. So, all around Somerset, you know, our vision and our hope has always been there's about 1 million people in Somerset. So we feel that God surely wants to see his kingdom multiplying amongst all of those 1 million people. And so where we're at now, we have communities that gather and people that have come to faith in 14 of the different towns and villages. And there's about 30, we would call them like households. So similar to maybe home groups or little churches. And most of those are people that have come to faith. There's about 7 towns where we're praying and going to try and find people that want to know about Jesus. And really, we're looking now, out of those kind of communities and disciples, well, who is God calling to be leaders? And so we'd really appreciate your prayers for that, because it's very, very chaotic and very messy, very joyful. But yeah, we'd appreciate your prayers. And I think I wanted to encourage you with a story to finish off with. So I think the more that we have tried to serve Jesus and make him known to other people, the more we've realized it's all about his work. And we all say that, and we all know that in our heads. But the other night, I was with a couple of our Bulgarian friends. So we've seen God at work amongst people that we know who are Bulgarian. And so we met this family. We just turned up. They live in Highbridge. We just turned up at a block of flats because we prayed and felt that we should go there. And this Bulgarian family were all sat outside their flat. So because we're not very clever, we're always on the lookout for what is God doing. So we went over and we talked to this family, and there's a guy in the Bible called Cornelius. I don't know if you've read that story. And it says that Cornelius was a God-fearing person, and those people were like God-fearing. So they knew kind of about God. And also a bit like Cornelius, they said, when we turned up, they said something like, we've been asking God to send us some people. So I was thinking, oh, I think we're in the right place here, which is encouraging. And so over the course of about maybe a year or so, all of their family got baptized. So by all, I mean one of the sisters, her husband, their daughter, their mum, their dad, 2 other family friends. And then now God's like at work in all their cousins. So some of them are being baptized. And so it felt like, wow, we've found this group of people that God is at work. Not by being clever or by saying very much at all, but by being the opposite, by being very simple and relying on God. And so then I've been going and trying to disciple and encourage this one couple in amongst that. And I'll be really honest, sometimes I'm driving there thinking, like, what am I doing? You know, is this worth it? Is anything going to happen? But I've been going in faith, believing, here are some people that seem to want to know about God, reading the Bible, helping encourage them. And the next thing I know is they've helped to gather a kind of Bulgarian church over in Highbridge. So me and Hudson went there, didn't we? And it was amazing. And it was like, when you do things in faith that seem really small and ridiculous, somehow God does something that feels really big or amazing. So we went to this Bulgarian church thing, and we loved it because it was massively disorganized, really chaotic. And it's great because when people don't impose all their things on, God can actually work. So it was really good. And like I do everywhere I go, I talked about making disciples, gathering in homes that Jesus didn't make disciples by doing like what I'm doing now. You know, he spoke to crowds, but then he was in people's houses, eating with them, so people could ask questions and they would have a conversation. And I think I just said at the end, who wants Jesus to come to their house and gather together over a meal? And, you know, I was hoping that there'd be lots of people saying, yeah, come to our house, and nobody said that. So I was a bit discouraged, to be honest. But one lady at the end, she wanted some prayer, and to cut a very long story short, she had a demon in her. So, you know, that's the other thing that we found. When you're going out into the world to spread the kingdom of God, you meet people that have some pretty interesting and strange things at work in their lives. So we learned pretty quickly how to cast demons out in Somerset, sleepy old Somerset. And so we did this with this lady, and she literally changed before our eyes. And then the first thing she said was, can you come to my house? So I thought, isn't it funny? All of the people that you think or you were hoping would say, yeah, come to a house, didn't. And the one lady who actually, the world would have written her off, she's the one that says it. So it took us a couple of weeks, but eventually we got round to go into her house. So me and my Bulgarian friends, on what day was it? Wednesday? We went to their house. So this is, just so you know, our big church planting strategy is we go to people's houses when they invite us. It's very simple and unclever. And that is what Jesus taught his disciples to do. Wherever you go, look for people that are welcoming you in. Go and eat with them, share Jesus with them, heal them in Jesus' name, and start discipling them. So we went to this house in Highbridge, and we arrived, and there was these Bulgarian people there. More people started turning up, and we were just sat around a table with about five or six of them. And so all we did was something really simple, that what we do when we gather together. We did our highs and lows, and we just read a really simple scripture. I said, who wants to know how to be a disciple of Jesus? And they all sort of nodded. I don't think they really understood maybe what they were getting themselves in for. And we just read. I didn't teach much at all. We just read a story about when Jesus called his first disciples. And we talked, and I encouraged them, being a disciple is to do two things. Follow Jesus yourself, and teach other people to follow him as well. And so we looked at, what do people do when they follow Jesus? They repent and get baptized. So three of them said, we want to get baptized tomorrow, so we're going to do that. And then we said, also, it's helping other people follow Jesus. So with everybody, and we're going to do it in a minute, we encourage them to think about five families or five people that don't know Jesus that they can pray for and start to share their story of Jesus. And they absolutely loved it. And no one had ever said anything like that to them before. And I think they all thought, to be a disciple of Jesus, you have to be some clever you know, have it all together kind of person. So yeah, we're going back tomorrow to baptize those guys, and that's something that happens fairly regularly. And we're quite involved with people around the UK and Europe who also feel called to make disciples and to really answer the question, how will we see the kingdom spreading out there in the world amongst people's friends and families? So if you've got a right hand, put it in the air. So I hope that if you've felt encouraged today, that it's nothing to do with us, it's God's work. God is at work amongst people's lives in ways that are far beyond what we think or imagine. And even though we so poorly reflect Jesus to the world, he still, for some reason, loves to involve us. So I want you to think now about five of your friends or your family members or people that come in your shop or anybody that you know, but that they don't know Jesus. Or that they're not really part of a church, and by that I mean a gathering of people where Jesus is at the centre. Because you can start churches in homes, shops, anywhere where people are. But somewhere, it has to start somewhere, doesn't it? And we have the privilege of being involved with starting. So I wanted to ask Catherine to come and play something on the piano, if that's okay. While we all think about who are our five people, and while Catherine's praying, I wanted to invite you to start praying for them. But not vague prayers, okay? So, some of my five people, just so you know, there's a family called Ben, who's got the same name as me, which is funny, and their daughter plays in Elijah's football team. So Ben and Muriel, Lacey and Noah. And what I'm praying for them is that they will repent of their sin, be baptized, and become followers of Jesus, and that Ben will become part of our team, because he also loves people and can see about going around and spreading it. So don't be vague, if I can encourage you. Be very focused. So yeah, while Catherine prays, think about who your five people are. You can put your hands down now, you don't need to keep that. Sorry. And pray in a focused way and expect that very, very soon you're going to have an opportunity to do something based on that prayer. Because God loves to make himself known to people, despite us. So, thanks, Catherine.
Yeah. As we do that, we know.